Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
A nearly forgotten treasure of the modern Christian life is taking time to meditate upon the Lord, especially when our fears are looming large before us. We must take the time to watch the sunrise or to look up at the stars and see the vastness of the universe. We are living in perilous times. More than ever, we must be close to the Lord and meditate on His greatness. He is bigger and more powerful than anything that we fear. Please open your Bible to Psalm 34, verse 4, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless His holy. There is a fear, as we're going to see tonight, that we all need. It's a fear of God. The fear of God will enable us to overcome those other fears. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened or beaming, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. And so in this psalm, David is going to tell us how his Lord, our Lord, his Savior, our Savior, saved him out of all of his fears, all of his troubles. The Lord, the Savior. I'm not talking about a brand of Christianity where Jesus is your supplement. He's your Savior. He's not a supplement. When I need you, no. Savior, Deliverer. David says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Again, I quoted it earlier, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. And what's perfect love? Or not what? Who is perfect love? Jesus. Perfect love casts out fear. It may still be there, but the presence of Christ casts out that fear, doesn't it? You know, you've been there. You've been in your caves. You've been in your crisis. You've been on that hospital bed. You've been in those situations where the enemy comes in like a flood and you're crying out to the Lord, and His presence just overwhelms you with peace. David says, the angel of the Lord camps around those that fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. You ever eaten at a really good restaurant? How many of you have eaten at a really good restaurant? Boy, you walk out of that restaurant and you become an evangelist for that restaurant, don't you? I mean, that's it. If you ever have had the lasagna at fill in the blanks. If you've ever had the chicken biryani at this place, oh, and I've seen people talk about restaurants and foods, and their eyes get like silver dollars. You know where this is going. When you taste and see personally that the Lord is good, you will become an evangelist for Jesus Christ. Because there ain't anything that tastes better than Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's an experience. We're not just talking about head knowledge. Taste and see the Lord is good. The goodness of God is a reality that can be seen, that can be tasted, that can be felt. And it can't be contained. The word blessed means to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy these days. I get it. Pastor, I just want to be happy. Okay. Happy. Happy. You want happiness as it is defined in culture? Or you want happiness as it's defined in the Word of God? You see, there's a big difference. The happiness, as it is defined in culture, depends upon the chances and changes of life. Stock market goes up, I'm happy. Stock market goes down, I'm not happy. Well, I mean, that has nothing to do with me. I'm just talking about for you that have stock things in the stock market, right? I'm healthy, I'm happy. Not healthy, I'm not happy. Every relationship good? Happy. Relationship bad? Not happy. You see, that's contingent upon things that are changeable. We have, in Christ, we've been given a happiness, a blessedness that is independent of those things. Happy are those people whose God is the Lord. There's a happiness that is stronger than the disappointments, the discouragements, the frustrations in life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy is the man that trusts in him. That word trust here means assured reliance on the character, ability, and strength and promises of God. You see, you and I are on this journey in life, and every one of us tonight are we're making choices, we're making decisions, we're confronted by things, and we can either be relying on ourselves or relying on God. Now, relying on God doesn't mean that we are passive and we do nothing. We have to pray, we have to seek Him. But what a difference it is when you and I are relying on God. Not trying to manipulate circumstances or people or drop hints. Lord, I'm looking to you. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Blessed is the woman that trusts in him. Psalm 84 verse 12 says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. And then in verse 9, O fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. No want? You know what that means? The opposite of wanting, or to want something, means to be covetous. But the fear of the Lord, this is a fear that is essential. It's a reverential awe. And you and I know that we're living in very perilous times. We're living in hard times. And I believe more than ever do we need to be close to the Lord, meditating on His greatness. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In other words, God says, I'll take care of you. You get your heart straight with me. You get your priorities right. You begin to seek me. You begin to walk in the fear of me. David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now there are those who take the scripture out of context and want you and I to think that that means that you're going to drive the fanciest car and wear the fanciest clothes and you're going to be eating, you know, sirloin steak and Aaron shrimp, you know, shrimp scampi all night. And all. That doesn't mean that at all. The Bible says better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred there is. That means that if you've got a bowl of spinach and a dish of squash, a dish of spinach and a bowl of squash soup, you're just, oh, this is so good. This is wonderful. Oh, man, I am so blessed. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You believe that? Some of you tonight are wanting something. Don't hide it. God knows. You're wanting fill in the blank. The Bible says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. I don't want anything for me that God doesn't want for me. I don't want anything for me that He doesn't want. I only want what He wants. So, verse 11. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I love the book of Proverbs. It's a book that tells us how to fear the Lord practically. And when you read the very first chapter, right out of the gate, there were individuals that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You know, unfortunately, there are those who have a passive passive approach to the Word of God. Some people sit in their Bibles, read their commentaries, and wait for God to blast them with the fear of Him. No. Fearing God is something that can be learned. In fact, the more that you know Him, the more that you love Him, the more that you're going to fear Him. They're not opposites. They go hand in hand. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, if you will receive my words, hide my commandments, incline your ear unto wisdom, apply your heart to knowledge, apply your heart to understanding, cry after knowledge, seek her for as you were seeking silver, search for her as for hid treasures, then you're going to understand the fear of God. The fear of God. The fear of God is what? It's to hate evil. It's to hate pride. It's to hate arrogancy. It's to hate that traitor in me. Fearing God. The fear of the Lord is not only the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, it's the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Did you ever pray that? Lord, teach me how to fear you. He will. He will. How many of you desire life, many days, and you want to see good? See, some of you have read ahead. You're thinking, oh, I'm not going to raise my hand because I don't know if I like the rest of that. Oh, I like verse 10, or verse 12. I like that. But I don't know about verse 13, the first part. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You know, our brother James in the New Testament has quite a bit to say about our tongue. So does the book of Proverbs. And you and I know that our tongue is not a very big part of our body, but it sure can get us in a whole lot of trouble. James tells us that the tongue can stir up the fires of hell. The Bible tells us that it can be used as an instrument to destroy. In fact, James would tell us, if any man among you seems to be religious and doesn't know how to bridle his tongue, that man's religion is vain. Isn't that interesting? So one key for a good life and seeing good days comes from having a spirit-controlled tongue. In Psalm 19, verse 14, we read, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Keep your tongue from evil. If you want to know what God considers evil, just go through the Proverbs as a beginning and begin to circle or underline anything that God says is evil. And tell your tongue, don't go there. Pride, arrogancy, sowing discord, whispering, gossiping, backbite, murmuring, complaining. Don't go there. Don't go there. That's what the Bible says. That's one of the ingredients. Lord, set a watch. I think it's Psalm 141 says, Lord, set a watch upon my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Oh, if we would only imagine how much, what a difference that would make on this planet if everybody prayed before they said anything. What a difference that would make in our marriages. What a difference that makes in a fellowship. I'm not going to give my tongue to evil. I'm not going to say that. That's poison. It's poison. I was reading this verse today and what I was preparing for Sunday, and I wrote something down. So this is, I'm going to let you into a little insight. So I write things down that really, they mean something to my heart. Okay, ready for this? This may hurt a little bit, but let me put it out there. I put down here, I would rather pastor a church of repentant alcoholics, prostitutes, drug dealers, drug addicts, fornicators, adulterers, and thieves than a church full of self-righteous, holier-than-thou, unrepentant gossip slanderers who sow discord and division. All right? So that's part one. Part two, depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Depart from evil. Even abstain from the appearance of it. Seek peace. Pursue it. I love Micah 6:8. Well, God has showed you what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. C.S. Lewis said this, true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Wow. What a V8 day it is in the Christian life when you realize, hey, the universe doesn't revolve around me. Wow. I'm no longer king. That's great. That is wonderful. God looks. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You know, Peter quotes this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. He quotes this that we just talked about. So this is church stuff. This is just not Old Testament Israel stuff. This is church stuff. But he says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. In the scripture, whenever a person rebels in their heart against what the Lord says is right, that's evil. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You recall how in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 13, it was written about Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels came down and says, we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. But the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. How many times has David talked about crying out, crying out, crying out? You know what it's like, don't you? The righteous. Who are the righteous? It's those who are in Christ. That's who the righteous are. Those who realize that they're not righteous. Those who realize that they're not worthy. That's the irony of the gospel. The gospel is for the unrighteous, the unworthy. Not those who think they're righteous and think they're worthy. Through faith in Christ, we're righteous. And because of that imputed righteousness that we have in Christ, he calls us righteous. In other words, when God looks at you and me tonight through faith in Christ, he sees us in Christ. Justified, forgiven, totally forgiven, righteous because of what Christ has done for us. If you or I think that our righteousness has anything to do with what we've done, you haven't even understood what it means to possess the righteousness of God. It has nothing to do with you. It's all him. The righteous cry. The Lord hears, delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near unto those that are of a broken heart, and he saves those that are of a contrite spirit. The Beatitudes, how do they begin? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. The Lord is near those who are of a broken heart. Now, many times when we get our hearts broken for many reasons, we get overwhelmed with emotion, don't we? It's very normal. And if we're not careful, that emotion, depending on what is the reason for the broken heart, the devil can really capitalize on it and say, well, if the Lord loved you, or whatever, fill the blanks. So, is your heart broken tonight because of poor decisions that have been made that you've repented of? Is your heart broken tonight because of decisions that others have made? Maybe your heart is broken over the loss of a loved one, a broken relationship. You know, when is the time that you and I are most likely to wonder where the Lord is? Many times it's when our heart is broken, or when we get disappointed, or when we're overwhelmed. But here David says that that's exactly when the Lord is nearest. When your heart is broken, that's when I'm closest. When your heart is overwhelmed, that's when the Lord is saying, hey, come on, Raymond. I love that. I love that about the Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. you know that in the upper room, Jesus is going to tell these men, this is the end of the upper room discourse in chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. The last verse before the high priestly prayer is this. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. They're probably thinking, right. In the world you shall have tribulation. Oh no. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You want to have a fascinating Bible study? Go home and take out your old Cruden's Concordance, if you still have a paper concordance, or your Strong's Concordance, or your Google search, and look at the words in the New Testament, be of good cheer, and find the context every time Jesus said to somebody, be of good cheer. Guess what? They were overwhelmed. They were bummed out. They were feeling anything but cheerful. You know what he said? Be of good cheer. I'm here. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer, Paul. You feel like you're in prison, but I'm telling you, I'm getting you out of there because I've got a lot of people for you to preach to in this city. Be of good cheer tonight, saints. You see, now if you're thinking be of good cheer, that I'm thinking about your circumstances, you haven't heard anything that the Lord has said. Be of good cheer because he's here. Be of good cheer because he's near. Be of good cheer because he's there with you. You know, you'll never be alone again if you're really a born-again believer. Because Jesus was forsaken, he told you and me, you'll never be forsaken. It's amazing, the older that I get, how everything goes back to the gospel. It just goes back to the gospel. It all goes back to the gospel. It doesn't get any deeper than the gospel. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. So right here, as a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. You know how when he was crucified, they did not break any of his bones. And if you go back and read the study of the sacrifices, the lamb that was sacrificed could not have had a bone broken. John 19:36 says, for these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Verse 21, two more verses. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. You see, every sin has a destructive element in it. You see, sin, which is evil, destroys. It just simply destroys. It destroys your body. It destroys your mind. It destroys relationships. It destroys your sense of values. It destroys nations, ministries. Tim Keller said this, sin is the suicidal action of the self against itself. Sin destroys freedom because sin is an enslaving power. It's contrary to the purposes of God. And it's only by God's grace, through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our hearts are really changed and we are set free and put on a course that is free from a life of sin and destruction. Aren't you glad for that? It's like he plucked us out. I like how he says, he plucked us out of a miry pit. Boom! He puts us over here. The Bible says the way of life is above to the righteous. I like that. It's above. It's above. It's not here on this earth. We're just passing through. You realize that, right? This is we're here for a purpose. We're here to be salt, to be light. And don't let anybody bamboozle you about the church. The church is salt and light. We are to be counterculture, not conform to the culture.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Sila, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.